playing off that, bobsled is my favorite, personally, Winter Olympic sport. I'm a big fan. I grew up on Cool Runnin', the movie, the Jamaican bobsled team. Still love that movie. Yes. So I grew up on it. But it's cool, right? You get in the sled and you just fly down this track. But I find myself thinking about being the second or third person in the four teams. You don't do much once you're in the sled. You help push it, and then you just get in there and you sit there and you hold on for dear life, right? You're not the brake. That's the guy in the back, and the driver is the one in the front. I got to think about how much faith you have to have in that driver to not crash you when you're going down there. You're in the middle of the sled. You have to have confidence and a whole lot of faith in that getting that driver safely down the track. And it's that idea of faith that we're going to dive into over the next 7 weeks. We're going to start a new series on the life of Abraham. It's called Walk of Faith. Abraham is known as a father of faith. He is referenced throughout the Bible as a father of faith or a man of faith. And my hope is what we can do is we can take our first series from January and really tie it into this one. If you weren't with us, we talked about a lot in January, these spiritual disciplines or ways to make ourselves more spiritually healthy and to grow up and to grow that part of our lives. So we want to take that in our daily lives. And we need to keep them up because we also need to walk out and live our faith in our daily life. So what we're going to see is how Abraham walked out his faith. And hopefully we can take from that to walk out our own faith. And today, he's going to be called by God to start that walk. And it may seem like it comes out of nowhere, but the big thing is here, Abraham shows obedience to God. And today's about obedience, right? He might not have expected to be called. It might have been difficult. We're going to hear about some of that, but he acts in obedience. And keep this in mind about obedience. Obedience doesn't need explanation, it needs action. Obedience doesn't need explanation, it needs action. When we obey God, we go and we do what he says. He doesn't need to explain himself, give us a five-point message about why we should do it. We go. So we're going to begin the story of Abraham. Before we start, I'm going to give just a little bit of how we get to the life of Abraham, because he shows up in Genesis chapter 12. First thing, if you are unfamiliar with the story of Abraham, here's what you're going to hear throughout this. You're going to hear Abraham, and you're going to hear Abram. Same fella. Okay, same dude. All right, he was Abram. Eventually, God changes his name to Abraham. So you'll hear me say both, same dude. All right, so today you'll hear him as Abram. But what happens here in these first 11 chapters of Genesis before we get to Abram is we see a lot of stories of God blessing people to then the loss of blessing because they screw it up and then God wanting to restore it. We have Adam and Eve blessed in the garden. They sin, kind of lose that blessing, and God wants to restore them. We go to Noah and the ark, right? The people, they were doing great, but then they became terrible, lost the blessing. God sends the flood, but restores through Noah. Then in Genesis 11, just prior to this call of Abram, we have the story of the Tower of Babel, where all the people, they all spoke the same language, communicated, said, let's build this really tall tower so we can show how great we are and get up towards the heavens. And God's like, nah, that's not it. It's not about you guys. So he confuses their language, scatters them. And now through Abram, he's going to try to restore that blessing again. So we're going to start with Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It'll be up here behind me. It's marked in your Bibles on your tables there. If you want to follow along, as always, phone, tablet, computer, great. I will be in the NIV translation. So here we go with Genesis 12, starts with verses 1 to 3. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God's going to call Abram, and the first thing he says is go. It starts with go. He's going to go from this country and this land he knows, and he's supposed to go to a place God will lead. Abram is going to have to leave the comfort of what he knows and go to the discomfort of the unknown. But this directive, this calling, it comes with a promise. God says, I will make your name great. It's going to be a blessing. It says God will bless him, and it's important that this comes with a promise. God is going to bless Abram if he obeys and goes. He will become great. He'll be a blessing to others. So this act of obedience comes with the promise of being blessed and being a blessing. And blessing in this case is about having your needs met and having this good, harmonious relationship with God. That's how it all started in Genesis 1 and 2 with Adam and Eve. That was the design, was for people to be blessed by God. Now, it was lost in sin, but through God's redemption, God wants to restore that blessing. Abram is going to be a representative, to be a vehicle of that restoration and that blessing. So through obedience and faith, Abram's supposed to leave his land and go to the land that God calls to be blessed and bring a blessing. whatever will Abram decide to do? Let's find out verses 4 through 9. It says, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to God who had appeared to him. From there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. So Abram goes in faith. He takes his wife. He takes Lot, who is his nephew, and the possessions and people they had, and Abram leads to where God is calling. So he took some things with him, but he still had to leave the land and the area he knew. Now, with what Abram took, it says he has possessions, he has people, all this stuff. We kind of can infer he was a man of wealth. He was a man of means. He had something, right? He was anchored in that homeland with what he had. He wasn't a nomad with nothing that just traveled all around. He had something to leave. He had possessions, he had wealth, but he still went. That makes his obedience and his faith come across so much stronger. He had it good, but he was still willing to go. So he goes to Canaan, he comes to this tree at Moreh, and it's here that God appears to Abram and he reaffirms the promise he made. Reaffirms Abram's family will indeed be blessed. God reaffirmed that promise. And then Abram builds an altar to the Lord. Their altar is a place of sacrifice. People would come into the presence of the Lord. So Abram builds an altar at this tree. He travels to other places, builds more altars. He left a mark for God at those places with those altars. He didn't own this land, but he said God was here. He marked it for God. Abram showed that God's presence was there and is there in that land. Abram walked in obedience. We need to walk in obedience. I want to look at four different things today that come with that walk of obedience. The first one would be kind of going from comfort to discomfort. By all accounts, Abram had it good. A life that may have been fairly comfortable. He owned livestock. He had possessions. He's married. His nephew's with him. God called him out of that comfort. It's not easy giving up comfort, is it? Right? Think about somewhere where you're just really, really comfy. Right? Maybe it's been cold outside in January. So you're in that nice warm bed. You know, right? You got whatever, your mattress topper, a good mattress. The pillows are just right. Whether you're one pillow or like 16 pillows, that's your call. Maybe we got a weighted blanket so that thing hugs you real tight. If you still sleep with the stuffy, no judgment here, go for it, right? You're just all comfy, and then all of a sudden, that alarm goes off, and it wakes you up. That alarm is calling you from the comfort and warmth of your bed to that cold, just uncomfortable outside, right? It's dark in the house. Maybe it's cold. If you got kids, you're going to step on some toys on your way out, right? God's call can be like that alarm going off saying, get up, it's time to go. At some point, we will get called out of our comfort into something uncomfortable. It's going to happen. Now, this isn't punishment when it happens. It's not God saying, you don't deserve to have it good. No, it's not it at all. It's that God saying, I have something I'm leading you to over here, away from that. And if that makes you uncomfortable, that's okay. That discomfort should push us to rely on God and put our faith in God even more than we already are. Think about it. If you're perfectly comfortable, maybe you're connected to God. Maybe you're spending time with him. Maybe you're thankful for everything that you have. But are you really that dependent and reliant on him when everything is comfortable? It's kind of like, yeah, I got God. He's good. You know, if I didn't, I'd be okay because everything's still pretty comfortable, right? Now flip it when you're uncomfortable. You're on edge. You're shaky. You're nervous. Now you need something to rely on. You need God to hold onto. So God may call us into something uncomfortable because he's like, I need you over here to do this. Or also it's a reminder of our need and our reliance on God. When we're reminded of that need and God calls us to go to the uncomfortable, remember, we don't give up absolutely everything. Look at Abram for a second. His family went with him. Some of what he had, his possessions, went with him. God didn't make him start completely over and take away all the things he had already given him. He just called Abram to something different. When God calls us to something different, it doesn't mean we lose what he's already given us. God may call you to something new, and you may keep your job. You may stay in the home you're in. You keep the relationships you have, but there's still something different he's calling you to. He's saying, go over here and just do this thing you weren't expecting. See, God's given us things that make us uncomfortable or comfortable. Hold on to those by holding on to him when he leads you somewhere that makes you uncomfortable. and then walk into that discomfort in obedience. Walk into that discomfort in faith and in reliance on God. And remember, when you do it, you've been blessed by God. Abram was blessed by God. God promised him that he was met by God, provided for by God, and at harmony with God. He had that, and Abram was going to get to be a vehicle of blessing to others. We are in that really fun time of year, the cold and flu season, right? Everybody's favorite, right? And we all know how this works. Somebody gets whatever the virus is, and then you get it from them, and then odds are you might pass it on to somebody else, right? Maybe it's in the office, it happens. Schools, right? I have two kids and a wife that teaches in the schools. It comes that way. Who knows? But you get it from somewhere, it comes to you, and you pass it along, right? You get it, and then you give it. You become a vehicle of that virus. Now, that virus is a bad thing. It's negative, right? But as we learn from Abram, we get to be a vehicle of something that's actually good, and that is blessing. We get to be a vehicle of blessing. So first thing, remember, you are indeed blessed by God. He has given you blessing, and this is a deep, rich thing for Christians to have. Blessing from God is more than just like feeling like life is good vibes or keeping things 100 or whatever the kids say now. God's blessing is more relational, and it's more than material. It's more relational than it is material. It's not about what God gives us. It's about who God is to us. That's the blessing we have from God. It's that relationship with him, being right with God, being connected with God, and everything that comes with that. Yes, it includes having our needs met by God, but it goes further to his peace, his guidance, his conviction, his love. I'm an old school church kid, and there was this old hymn called Count Your Blessings that I grew up singing with the lyric that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Think about counting your blessings. You know, some you might see, family, home, that your needs are met. But there are so many that are unseen, but not unimportant. Peace, conviction, guidance. These are all blessings I feel from God that I have. We all have blessings from God. We just might need to be more aware of them and recognize them. So be aware of them. And then be like Abram and be a vehicle of those blessings. Take those blessings to others. Take the presence of God to others. Show others that they can have that blessing from God. Might be to people that don't know Jesus yet or that haven't accepted Jesus yet. Show them how they can be blessed. Show it by the way you live. Show it by the attitude you have. When maybe by the world standards, your life isn't perfectly set up, right? Or isn't just how it should be. But you feel set up and you're showing contentness because of your blessing with God. That intrigues other people. That confuses other people. Maybe it makes them ask questions. That's good. Make others intrigued by that relationship you have with God. Make others curious. And then be a vehicle of blessing to other followers of Jesus. We all need a reminder of how we are blessed by God. A couple weeks ago, we talked about building strong Christian community. Being strong examples of God's blessing to each other helps us build that strong community. It pulls each other up when we're down. We all need that reminder sometimes. So be the vehicle that pulls each other up. Remind each other of how we're all blessed by God. Walk in that blessing and let it be known that God is with you. Throughout this first part of his walk, Abram built altars to God. They were places where Abram met with God. He connected with God. He sacrificed to God. God's presence was marked by these altars. Over the last few years in our neighborhood, we've had some foxes that have lived in the neighborhood. Our neighborhood-friendly foxes, they're pretty harmless. You'd see them out and they'd leave you alone. Some would come up kind of close to you even. It's kind of wild. But there were a couple mornings, like a year and a half ago, I'd go out into our backyard on this little back step. There would be some fox droppings. Now, if you know anything about foxes, foxes mark their territory, right? They are highly territorial animals. They want to mark their territory to have boundaries to prevent predators or anything and also let other foxes know this is mine. I didn't really want a fox living in my backyard. As cool as they are and as fun as they looked, I didn't need a fox making my backyard their territory. Now, I don't know what happened. They eventually left. Thankfully, he decided not to. Maybe the rent was too high in my backyard. I don't know. But for a bit, I thought that territory was being marked, claiming that fox presence in my backyard. We need to claim God's presence in the places we go, right? We need to leave a place marked for God. And here's the thing. When you go somewhere, when you leave somewhere, let it be known that God was there. Now, you don't have to be a physical thing like taking one of our cross stickers or a Bible and leaving it every place you go. You can. That's fine. Go ahead and do it. But it doesn't have to be physical. But somehow dedicate that place to God. Make it known it was a place of God's presence. And you can do that by your own presence reflecting that of God. Right? Be God's light in the place you are. And that doesn't mean you're the loudest voice or the center of attention. But how you do act, when you do speak, that is the light of God, right? You're at the grocery store and the line to the checkout is super long and everybody's starting to grumble and getting cranky about waiting in line. Open up another lane, all this stuff. And you smile and be patient and show calm and show some grace. That small action reflects God. Or if you're at work and you just finished that seventh meeting that should have been an email and nobody liked what came from that meeting, right? And your coworkers, now some are getting nasty and saying things. Or some are really emotional about it. And it's all understandable, right? Can you be the peace? Can you be the comfort? Can you be the voice of Jesus in that office, even as you feel the same way as your coworkers? Can you act differently and be the light of Jesus? Can you mark your office for God? You can also pray to leave a mark for God. It's probably the simplest way, but also one of the coolest ones you can do. Our strongest connection point to God is that direct line of communication to Him in prayer. Pray over a place to leave a mark for God. It's simple yet super powerful. I sat this week, I worked out of a couple different coffee shops throughout the week. I know, really rough life. I work from coffee shops all over. I know which ones have the best coffee, the cheapest coffee, and the best power. By the way, coffee shops that don't have outlets, big negative for me. Okay, I'm just going to say that. That's the turnoff for me. Anyway, I was sitting there at one point, and of course I'm writing this, and I'm going to tell you guys to pray over a place. I'm like, I got to pray over a place. So I prayed over this coffee shop. I knew nobody in there. It was pretty busy. I knew nobody there. I don't know what's going to come of it. But I prayed over it. It never hurts to pray over a place you are. If you live in an apartment complex, yes, pray over your apartment. Pray over the whole complex. Even if you haven't met some of the people there. You go to the gym, pray over the gym. Pray where you go. Really quick, really easy. It never hurts. And maybe you won't see anything come of it. But you were there and God was there and you made sure it was known that God was there. You left a mark for God. Be constantly and consistently leaving God's mark. That's something we get to do. That's part of our walk in obedience. But remember, when we go in obedience, we walk in obedience, it comes with the promise. It comes with a promise. God promised Abram that he would be blessed, that his name would be great, and he would become a great nation. That's the promise, is how this whole thing started. God doesn't make empty promises. He is the fulfiller of promises. When you were a kid, did you ever pinky promise somebody? Remember this back in the day? Right? Small finger, huge impact. It was relational. It was about trust. If you broke that pinky promise with your 7-year-old BFF, man, it was over. But then when you kept it, it was so strong. That pinky promise meant something. See, God made a promise to Abram, and he made a promise to us. Now, it's not based on locking pinkies, but it's based on an everlasting covenant. One of the songs said, I know you will keep your covenant. It can't be broken. It'll come to fulfillment. Listen to this. Galatians 6, 7 to 9, Paul writes to the Galatians, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. See, we're part of the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham. That's the people Paul wrote to. It's us. Remember that. In Abraham's story, his walk of faith started with a promise and God fulfilled it. Our walk has a promise as well. We have the promise of eternal life in Jesus. Because Jesus came, because he went to the cross, he died and he rose again, defeating death, we have the promise of eternal life. God's already fulfilled so many promises, he's going to fulfill that one as well. He will fulfill the promise of eternal life. So as we take the spiritual disciplines we looked at and talked about in January, and we walk out our faith like Abraham, we're going to actually be in the series leading all the way up to Easter. Remember that that walk leads somewhere. Now, that walk's going to have mountaintops, it's going to have valleys, it's going to have everything in between. But it leads somewhere. It leads to eternity with Jesus. It leads to eternal community with Jesus. That is a promise that God will keep. So walk towards God in faith. Walk towards that promise. Let's start by walking in obedience. We'll wrap up here. Walk in the discomfort. It's not always going to be comfortable. But don't be afraid or turned off when it gets uncomfortable, because God walks with you. While you walk in obedience, even when it's uncomfortable, God is walking with you. And then walk in blessing and as a blessing. Be that vehicle of blessing. He has blessed you by providing for your needs, by giving you relationship with him. Live that blessing and take it to others. Let them see it. And then leave a mark for God. Let it be known God is with you and God is with you where you go. Be a light in the dark places. Be a light in the bright places. Pray over the places you go. Represent God with how you act and speak. And walk to the promise. We are a fulfillment of God's promise to Abram. And God will keep his promise of eternal life to us. So place your faith in Jesus, in that promise, and walk in obedience and faith towards Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that we can dive in to the story of Abraham, God, and just his story of faith and how he was such a man of faith. And God, I pray that each week, starting with today, we would just take his life and learn and walk it out, God, and especially that way of obedience. God, that wherever you call, whatever you call, big or small, we would go in obedience. If it makes us uncomfortable, God, we would go knowing that you go with us. And God, I pray that we would remember that we're blessed. Maybe it's not blessed by the standards of everything around us, God, but it's blessed by you. I pray that that would be a reminder we would all take with us and that we would share that blessing with others. God, that as we share it, we would take you with us and let it be known you're with us where we go, that we would just pray over spaces and places, God. God, we need your presence in all the places we go. And God, we thank you that you hear those prayers, you listen to those prayers. And God, we thank you that you come through on the promises you've made, that you promise us eternal life, and that's still to come for us, God. So as we walk in obedience, we walk in faith, God. Remind us all that we're walking somewhere, and that's to eternity with you. We thank you for this morning. In your name, amen.